Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Turn to Psalm 119. This is a psalm where the center of focus of this psalm throughout is about God's Word. Look at verse 9. First word of every verse from verse 9 through 16 begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now that's the reason the psalm is divided like it is. It's an acrostic. So we're in the second portion. And this begins with a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's the question. How does a young man cleanse his way? How does a young man know the right way to conduct himself in his life? How does a young lady know the proper behavior? And the answer is, you pay attention to God's Word. It'll show you that. Young people, let me tell you, while you're young, this is some of the most exciting times of personal Bible study you're going to have in your life. These are the years. When you start reading through this Bible, you're going to see things that have great meaning for you in your life as a young person that you have never read before. Now, later, I hope you're such a good student that there'll be times in your life when you'll have read that and you'll have gone over it 100 times. But that first time through is such a wonderful, wonderful time and of spiritual development for our young people. We think about all the time and expense and money that we put into educating our young people and things having to do with this world. Well, young people, you need to take it on yourself to educate you, yourself, for your spiritual life and for the world to come. And so that's the answer to this question. If you'll follow His commandments and not stray from His path, there's so many ways that you can go wrong in your life. And right now, you're at that time where you're making those decisions and you can mess up big time. And the Bible tells us, with my whole heart if I sought thee, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't get off base now and take those words from the page and let them go from the page to your own little precious heart right now, young people. It says here, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This isn't just an academic study that you're going to do. This is something that goes to your heart. And you let those words be written on your heart now. You'll have a full life of being guided by the teachings of God's Word and avoid so many of the pitfalls and heartaches that are ahead of us in life. And when those tough times come, you'll know how to see it through because you'll know what His Word says. Solomon talks about this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us to enjoy life. God's given us joys and pleasures in this life. Enjoy it. It's the gift of God. But remember, you're going to be held accountable. And so enjoy them in the right way. And don't base your life on the pleasures of this world. Because there's going to come a time when those pleasures pass. And they're not even pleasurable anymore. But the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep His commandments. And that's where the answer is. By taking heed according to thy word. And so young people, you just determine right now. That's what you're going to do. As a young person, you're going to begin your life. Those that are college age are getting out from home now. Don't go out there lost. You go out there with the determination, I'm going to be a Bible student. And that's going to guide me. Let me just read. "'Tis like a sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day. And through the dangers of the night, a lamp to lead our way." That comes from this psalm. "Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age." Young people, now is the time to make that determination. I just encourage you to do that. Look at the latter part of this. This is good for preacher. Let me preach to myself a little this morning as we look at this. Where it says down here in verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in thy testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Boy, that's good, good instruction for a preacher. You can apply it to yourself, and I guess since I'm preaching, I look at that and I'm going to preach to the preacher. I guess I could put a mirror up there now. If you're going to speak the Word of God, you've got to take time first to learn the Word of God and let God teach you. You open your Bible. Now, you take a preacher, here's how he needs to spend his time in study. His teacher needs to be God Himself. He's given you the words, and you can just study right from God's words themselves. And let Him teach you the things that you say. It's not that the preacher needs to come up here and impress yourself with a preacher. Impress everyone with themselves. That's not what preaching's about. Preaching's about teaching God's Word. And so He says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." I tell you what, preachers get a lot of flack. They're so judgmental. Well, there may be some preachers that are judgmental, but what the preacher needs to do is simply proclaim the judgments of God. Now, some people might think God is judgmental, and I'll tell you what, He is. He is that last and final judge, and He does determine what is right and wrong. And it's not for the preacher to stand up and give their own opinions on things, but to proclaim God's judgments. That's the role. Notice that says, "With my lips have I declared what comes from God's mouth." You see, it originates with God. And the preacher there is merely the spokesman of these things. But then it says in verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Preacher, don't forget, this is called the gospel. Because it's good news. It's not something that beats us down. It's the most encouraging, uplifting, motivating, satisfying book that has ever been written. And so there's rejoicing here. And when we hear the truth, you know, true love rejoices in truth. And so we ought to be able to preach that gospel with that positive message that it has, even in declaring the judgments of God. It's good news. And keep that in context as we speak it. And meditate in thy precepts. Respect thy ways. Delight in thy statutes. Preacher that doesn't enjoy studying God's Word has no business standing in the pulpit trying to preach it, does he? And so meditate. Think through these things. That's how the book of Psalms begins. "In thy law, I meditate therein day and night. Blessed is that man that will meditate therein day and night and delight in these things." And then have respect for it. You need to respect God's Word because it is God's Word. And so show respect for that. Anytime you're teaching and preaching, you just remember that. But I saw a little sign not long ago. I may not even place it up on the pulpit. It says, "You don't need to worry about the audience in front of you. You need to worry about the audience above you. God's listening in on this." You show respect for the things that He teaches when you stand up to preach. And when you as your individual study God's Word, study those things with great reverence and respect. That's the right portion. And then it says, "I will not forget thy word." You don't let it pass from you. You don't neglect it. You don't let it slide away. You dedicate yourself to be a student of God's Word. And you remember it and carry that on. That's that section. Let's look at the second one. It's called Gimel, the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And the first letter, the first word in every verse begins with that letter, Gimel. "Deal bountifully with thy servant, I may live and keep thy word." What do we think of when we think of God dealing bountiful with us? Do we just think of material things? There's so many spiritual blessings that we need. Now, material is part of that. A lot of time what we ask God for are material things. And why? Because we may spend it on our own lust. That's what it says in the book of James. In James chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, he says, "Ye have not, because ye ask not." And then it says, "You receive not because you ask amiss." that ye may spend it on your own lust. We of all people are so blessed with material things, and yet which of us would not enjoy more? And would strive to have a little more if we could. And that itself is not bad, but think of the motive. Why do we want God's bounty on us? Here's the reason we ought to want it. That we may keep His Word. We want that which is sufficient for us so that we will not be led into temptation and be unfaithful to Him. You know, if God is going to deal bountifully with some of us, He might take some things away. Because the material things can be a distraction to us. And the bounty of God's blessings would be to remove those distractions so we might focus on spiritual things. Proverbs chapter 30, and beginning in verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Deal bountifully with us, and let our prayer be that we might have what we need, that we will keep His Word. That's what the point is. And don't ever lose focus of that. Look in the dark. Open thou mine eyes, verse 18. That I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. There's some people, they don't have any time for Bible study, and they don't get anything out of it. It's because they're trying to read it with their eyes closed. They haven't opened their eyes to the things of God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees. They've shut their ears and they've closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are you because you see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. That's what He said to His apostles. We need to come with open eyes, open ears. What does that mean? That means an open mind and an open heart to receive the things of God. You come to the Bible with a preconceived notion and a conception that you've already decided how you want this to come out, and you read it that way, and you're going to be blinded to the things that God has for us. Why is the Bible written like this? Why is it sometimes so hard to study and to figure out what's going on, and you've got to spend so much of your time looking through it and studying it to uncover it? It's because the Bible opens up to those whose eyes are open. And those who want to know the truth. And the Bible does not cast its pearls before swine. And so those who read the Bible closing their eyes and closing their ears, they're not going to get much out of it. But blessed are you if you'll open your eyes and go through that effort, and it will be so profitable unto you. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, it warns us about those who receive not the love of the truth, that they'll receive a lie and believe a lie. And so let's open our eyes to the wonderful things that are in God's Bible. Look in verse 19. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. You ever been in a place you've never been before, traveling through a country you haven't been and can't find your map? I don't know if we ever use a compass and a map. Most of us don't use a compass. Some of you maybe been out in the wilderness, hiked with a compass and a map or a guidebook. And then you're lost, aren't you? We're strangers in the earth. This world is not my home. We're only passing through. But how are we going to know how to get through this life? We don't have a guidebook. We don't consult the guide and find the directions and know where to turn and how to make decisions and how to get through. Don't hide these from me. If we're strangers in the earth and we are bereft of the guidance that is given us in God's Word, we are lost indeed. I'm stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. In verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Maybe we ought to sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all. That's the attitude we've got to have. A soul that breaketh for the longing that it has for thy judgments. I'll give up every other thing. The psalmist says in Psalm 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. That passion of heart and poverty of spirit that comes out in this verse. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord told us. So that's captured there in these words. Verse 21, Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I've kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Those verses seem to go together. The proud, the princes of this world, those who Paul said one time, use expression, they think they're somewhat. Those who think they're somewhat and look upon you with reproach and contempt. I mean, here you have this beautiful day to do all these things. They went to church. There are people that think just that way of you. What a ridiculous, you know, that they would do that. They spend so much time doing that. And look at all the wonderful things they could enjoy. And then when you stand up for the truth, and you get their reproach and contempt, and they'll call you some kind of a fundamentalist right-winging Bible thumper, or they'll try to think of some ugly term to express to you about the fact that you're going to be faithful to God, and yet if you know God's Word, and they are your counselors, that's not going to faze you. What does it matter to have the applause of this world if you have the frowns of God? But you turn that around. What if the proud of this world frown on you? You have God shining on you. Well, you don't need their affirmations. You've got God. You are free to follow God. And so, think about that. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. In the midst of that contempt that many in the world would sneer at you, you have that peace that passeth understanding. Because you know God's will. And you know how to achieve His pleasure. Let the world be as it may. Let's look at the next. Dalen. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. There's a beautiful poetry right there in that verse. Between cleaving to the dust and the quickening. That's being made alive in the spirit. The things of this world are things of dust. We're made of dust. The elements will melt with fervent heat. In the earth and all things therein will be burned up, and these things will be dissolved, Peter tells us. And then he asks the question, so what manner of man ought we to be? Are we holding on to perishable things? And is that which our life consists? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 20 says we're subject to this vanity. And when it says that, it's talking about the fact that we live in the flesh. We've got to provide to the flesh, and our souls are subject to this physical body for now, but not always. Some glad morning when this life is over, we'll fly away. We'll be free from that. We need to be thinking of those spiritual things in our life and emphasizing that. And also, this is captured in Romans chapter 8, where it teaches us that those that live after the flesh shall die. But those who mind the things of the Spirit, they live. And so, yes, our soul cleaves to dust now. And in ways, even in some ways, by God's design for this now, we're subject to this vanity. But spiritual life comes when we seek God through His Word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Verse 26. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Not I've declared thy ways. I have declared my ways. You declare your ways to God, and it'll be a confession of your faults and failures. That's what it is. And yet it tells us in the book of John, in John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's just and righteous to forgive us. Free us from these iniquities, from these sins. We've declared our ways to the Lord. And so what we do, we look to the Lord. I want to learn my statutes. I want to learn the right way to live and understand it and talk not of my failures, but of thy wondrous works. That's how I want to be able to live my life. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. What is the heaviness? That's the pain we bear and the grief we have and the suffering we go through and the loss we have. And it can get to us. And just like a strong piece of metal, heated, becomes melted and can crumble and weak. Where do we have the strength to carry on? We get it from God's words. My soul melteth for heaviness, but strengthen thou me according to thy word. That's what Paul said to the elders at Ephesus. I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. And that's what the Bible will do. It'll give us the strength to bear with the hardships of life. And if you're not having hardships, it's either because you just overcame them or you're headed for them. Life is filled with hardships. And you'll need strength to get through it. And to save that precious soul of yours and present it unto God. And you'll get that strength from studying the Word of God. Let's look in verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. Maybe the psalmist is talking about his lies. He's probably talking about all those false ways that people are lying to him about. I tell you, the world's full of liars. It'll tell you there's a different way and there's a broad way. But the Bible is the narrow way and that's the true way. And don't listen to those lies. If it's different from God's Word, it's a lie. Don't go in the way of those lies. You go in the way that the Lord says, remove from me the way of lying. I appreciate my grandmother. When she was getting up in age, I had gone to visit her, and she said something about how it will be in heaven, and I just asked her. I said, well, Grandma, says, what are you looking forward to most about heaven? And she thought it was just a slight thought, like she'd already thought about that. Here's what she said. She said, everything everybody tells you is going to be the truth. So remove from me the lies. Let's have a love for the truth. God's Word is truth. Let's look at this. Establish thy word unto thy servant in verse 38. Turn away thy reproach. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness of all the fears we have in this life. The greatest fear we should have is the reproach of God. Let's fear God. Keep His commandments. The Bible talks about those who come to God with fear and trembling. You remember Belshazzar, the king, that saw the writing on the wall. And when he saw the writing on the wall, his knees smote one against the other. That's fear. We ought to fear God's reproach. And we can escape the reproach of God if we'll stick to His Word. Maybe we need a few more lessons like that old lesson. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Let's learn to fear God, be afraid to live a life that wouldn't be pleasing unto Him. Look down here at verse 30. I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck to thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I've chosen the way of truth. You not only chose the way of truth, you stick with it. I stuck with the way of thy commandments. You choose what's right, you stay with it, and then you run when the Lord enlarges your heart. I know something about that, and you do too. If you've ever tried to exercise, you improve your heart physically if you'll exercise. You exercise yourself spiritually and improve your spiritual heart. You can do like the prophet said, mount up with the wings of eagles and run and not be weary. So you've got to bring these words, spiritual exercise, and bring it to bear on your heart. Now let's look at this one. Verse 33, the letter He. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And so this goes how we approach God's Word. We do it to the end. And we do it with a whole heart. And we do this with joy. It says, incline my heart, in verse 36, unto thy testimonies, and not unto covetousness. And I looked up in my New Testament, and I found that word in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, covetousness is idolatry. you're either going to turn to God or covetousness. Why is covetousness idolatry? It's the way you worship the god of your own belly. That's what it is. Covetousness is having things for yourself, thinking, oh, this is about me, and I want things for me. That will stand before you and God. So covetousness is idolatry, the New Testament says. And this says, make me to understand the path of thy commandments. It says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, not into covetousness. Verse 37, and so turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. And then that part, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I've longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. Beginning in verse 41. Let thy mercies also come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. We want to be saved. We're going to know what God's word says. We want the mercies of God. We got to seek that through the word of God. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says to be ready with an answer to every man that asks thee a question of thy hope. You need a Bible answer is what you need. And so you learn God's Word. The Bible is the book of answers. And so you can answer if we know what this Word says. Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. You see the depth of commitment that takes? And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if you're not bound by the Word of God, and you're bound by the lust of your flesh and the vanity of this world, then you can be free from those things, spiritually free from those things, if you'll come to the Word of God. And with liberty. James 1:25 calls it the law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. And so many of the things that hold us back, we can be set free from coming to the Word. And then notice in verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Paul did that. Paul stood before Festus and Agrippa. He turned to King Agrippa and said, do you believe? Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would not almost but altogether that thou wast such as I am, except these bonds. There you have the picture of the Apostle Paul who was physically bound in chains, standing before the king who was physically freed. But Paul's spirit was free. And that king's spirit was in bondage. And that spiritual liberty is greater than that physical freedom. And so, you can talk before kings and not be ashamed. Paul's the example of that. And it says, I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved. And notice what it says in verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, it says again. I will meditate in thy statutes. There's a little song that I heard, and I tried to remember it. I think I've got it right. It's a little simple song. Oh, do you love the Lord? Oh, do you love the Lord? Then serve Him every day and walk the narrow way.